The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
And during the few moments that we have left, we want to talk right down to earth in a language that everybody here can easily understand.
Your source for everything paranormal, Para-X.
Hey, it's Chris Fleming. More painful than a Tyrannosaurus Rex stepping on your testicle. Listen to Dave and Mike on Odyssey Files.
Oh! Kim, what are you doing?
Well, I'm telling Mike and Dave, it's time to get on the show.
Oh, well, the Odyssey Files starts now.
Good evening, Para-X Radio Network. You are listening to the Odyssey Files on Para-X. I just said that. So, yeah, obviously, with a screw-up in the first 5 seconds, I am Michael O'Neill. Tonight, not with me, is Dave Sawyering. he took the night off. He is spending some well-deserved time with his daughters. But I have an upgrade. Dave Sawyering 2.0. Dave Sawyering 2.0.
Dave Sawyering with a sex change.
Like I said, 2.0. I have with me co-hosting tonight, Miss Allie Schmaltz. Good evening, Allie.
Hello, Mike. Thanks for having me.
Oh, don't thank me yet. The show's not over.
Okay.
We need to survive the next hour talking with each other. I fully agree with you. So, I have had female people on the show before.
Female people. I'm glad you know our kind.
I do. So Allie is part of my debut chapter. That is currently in training with me. I know Dave and I have mentioned many, many times the Paranormal Project, our attempt at trying to relay to people what it is actually like to be a professional paranormal team and not ghost hunters. So if you want to see any of them, they're on YouTube. Just do a search for the Paranormal Project Dubuque. First three episodes are out. I'm still working on number four and severely slacking on it. I'm just going to jump right into it because I think it's important, and I'm just going to kind of get Allie's, thoughts and impressions on what the process has been so far. I can't even remember how many times I've asked you this question for the show, for I think when you guys did the Paranormal Feud, I asked you then. But I'm going to ask you again. What was it that made you want to respond to my Facebook ad saying, "Hey, I'm creating this team, and if you're interested in joining, contact me."
Mm-hmm. Well, I think my story is probably pretty similar to the majority of people who do this, is that I had a bunch of experiences growing up that I couldn't explain, and I thought, I'm going crazy, and kind of shoved it in the back of my mind for a long time, and saw, again, the show Ghost Hunters. Again, a lot of people, that was probably some of their first introductions to the field, and I was like, wow, people do this. And they don't just, like, go in a building and, like, try to get scared. Like, they're actually looking for legitimate answers, using equipment to do it. And so I was like, oh, that'd be really cool to do someday. Probably never going to get the chance because I live in Dubuque, Iowa. When I saw the ad, I think I actually saw it because Jim reposted it. And Jim I'd known for a little while through mutual friends. So I was like, oh, if he's posting it, it's probably legitimate, and did some deep digging into the website, and I was like, oh, that looks legitimate too. So, yeah, got a hold of you, and rest is history.
Wait. Okay, so this is new information for me. Mm-hmm. So you at some point in time thought that I might be illegitimate?
There's so many that are that it's, I mean, you can tell, and I think like a good website is really key to a lot of things, but you can tell people who don't take it seriously and just kind of put it out there, and it, yeah, the website was good. And so I was like, ah, this looks okay.
and I don't know whether to take it personally or not that it wasn't until Jim posted it. That it was like, oh, well, Jim posted
well,
it.
Well, you
legit.
See, I mean, so many ads pop up on Facebook where it's like, what? How do you know? Like, how do you know that I spend all day looking at pictures of puppies? Like, why is this showing up on my Facebook feed? And so, I mean, mostly I scroll right through those. So if it comes from someone that you know, I don't know. It makes you take a second look. So.
Yep. Good. Yeah. Good. The other one that. And it's kind of surprising to me that I have not asked, because maybe I just thought that it was all like when I joined, you know, it was all curiosity, and you know, mm-hmm. I'd never experienced really anything. Ghost Hunters obviously was a huge inspiration to me. You know, you're absolutely right on that fact that I didn't even know people did it until that show came out. That was a thing. But I believe you just said, if I heard you correctly, that you mm-hmm. had some experiences.
Oh yeah.
What? Can you give us a few, since there seems to be multiple?
Yeah. Well, when I was, I think probably 6 or 7, we moved into our, like, the house I grew up in, which is everyone's first experiences in the old house they grew up in. But, the house that we bought, I didn't buy it. I put no money towards the down payment. My parents bought, was a really old home. It was actually in Dubuque. It was the, like, people wanted to see, like, how electricity worked. They actually tour our house. So no one actually lived in it for a while, but then it got sold and made its way through many hands, and it got to us. And when we moved in, it was pretty much in need of, like, a total remodel, so... the second that my parents moved in, they just started like tearing out walls. And so we kept on like moving to different sections of the house, like ones that weren't being remodeled. And so I finally kind of landed in like my childhood bedroom, which seemed to be where the activity was always centered for some reason. And we had like weird, like we had squirrels that lived in the walls and bats and stuff like that. So there was always weird sounds, and it was an old house, so it was creaky and stuff. But I remember, probably within a year of moving in, when I was in that room for a period of time, every single night I would wake up and there would be a shadow at the end of my bed. And, you know, being a kid, it was scary. And so it took a while before I even told my parents about it. And, you know, it was typical, like, oh, you're just kids scared of the dark and, you know, just... we'll get you a nightlight and everything will be fine. And so that went on probably for a month. Every single night I'd wake up and I'd see it. And finally I was just like, this is stupid. Like, I'm tired, go away. And I literally told it. I remember that moment where I was just like, this is enough, go away, leave me alone. And after that it stopped. And we ended up shuffling bedrooms when my two younger sisters were born. And my younger sister got that bedroom. And around the same age that I had that happen, she started talking about this shadow at the end of the bed. She didn't want to sleep because she kept waking up and seeing it. And I'd never told her that because I wasn't going to scare her, but she described it the same way. And hers didn't last nearly as long. She had a couple solid weeks of it happening, and then she was fine. But that was something that I was always like, okay, was I a kid who was scared of the dark? And then until that point, I was like, no, something definitely was happening. She had the same experience that I did.
So did it ever move? Did it ever do anything or just stand
No,
there?
It was just there and it was motionless and it was just, I mean, it was darker and it was, my bed was against a wall and it's facing towards a window, so there was light coming in from outside. And it was clearly darker than everything. It was just the outline of a person, and it just stood there, and it was motionless. It never moved. It never did anything, but it was just there. And then, you know, I lasted 2 seconds looking at it, and then I think I would probably put my head under the cover. So I never really knew if it did anything, because then I would just fall asleep that way. But, yeah, it was a strange experience. But that's one that's always stayed with me. And, I mean, there was other things that happened in the house, too. And it was always centered around, you know, when we'd start remodeling another room or we'd start moving stuff into another room, then stuff would pick up. Like, my mom called me one day and she was like, I was just getting out of school, and she's like, are you home? And I was like, no, I'm not home. She's like, no one's home and someone's walking around upstairs. When are you going to be here? Because she's like, I'm freaked out. I think I'm going to go to grandma and grandpa's. And there was footsteps constantly. And it was always centered usually around that same room where we heard them.
Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And then we kind of finished. I mean, the house is finished now. And as soon as everything started feeling done, everything stopped. So I don't know if it was we were pissing people off with our remodeling. They didn't like the paint colors or.
Not everyone is a fan of purple like that's behind you.
That's true. I'm not really a fan of it either.
So, here's my question. Now, normally, I would just answer this or give the theory, but let's see how you... What do you believe caused, you know, that activity and why?
And I've kind of... I mean, my parents have done some research in the house, and there's been people who've died here, and so, I mean, clearly it could be that, but... It's, you know, knowing what I know now about hauntings, it just seems super residual. Every single thing that's happened here, nothing's ever tried to interact. It's just, you know, it pops up at the same time in the same place. And when young girls were in that room, which the guy who lived here had three young daughters. And I happen to be one of three girls in our house. So part of me thinks that it's sort of the fact that, again, we've got three young kids in the house, and that there's some history connected there. That's my theory on it. But
nice, it's a good theory.
Thanks.
Okay, so you join the team. Mm-hmm. We all have, we have the interviews. You interviewed with me. You interviewed with Jim, and myself. We initially met for the beginning of the show and the investigation at the Grand Opera House, which still to this day is probably one of the most active locations I have ever done, like personal experience wise. Mm-hmm. What were your expectations going into that first investigation and just the team in general? Because you had only met, you really hadn't even met them. We just had a big Skype call where I was like, you know, Allie, this is Jim, and you know, obviously you knew Jim, but you know, this is Tanner, and this is Amy, and this is not Allie, this is Debbie and Steve, and so what were your expectations going into that first one?
I mean, I think I didn't really have a lot of expectations, to be honest, because I just find when you build things up in your mind, typically they come falling down. But I knew enough to know that, like, I wasn't naive going into it being like, a ghost is going to pop up in front of me and carry on a 10-minute conversation. And, you know, I knew it wasn't going to be like, you know, Ghost Hunters where it looks like they're in and out in an hour and things are happening all the time to them. So I knew none of that was going to be how it was. But for the team, I had no idea what to expect. I mean, because clearly none of us had met. We didn't know how we were going to work together. I mean, you don't know what kind of situations you're going to get into in these type of, I mean, going in blind into investigation like this. So I just hoped everyone got along. But everyone was great that first investigation. I mean, it seemed like everyone pulled their weight. Everyone did their job and was there for the right reason, which was really important to me that no one was in there just because they wanted to get the shit scared out of them. So I was really happy about that first. I was really happy about how the first investigation went.
So, personal experience wise, Because you were with me, you know, it was yep. you and Jim and Debbie. So you had pretty much like the same personal experiences as I did.
Mm-hmm.
So what was your take on the theater itself with that like transistor radio sound? Because I have never heard anything disembodied, you know, potentially mm-hmm. disembodied that loud before.
I mean, immediately I had assumed that it's some piece of equipment going off somewhere else, which is why I think I had mentioned, I was like, well, where's the equipment at? What do we have with us? What do we set down? Because it sounded like a piece of equipment going off or something like that, because it was so loud. So, I mean, and it wasn't until I listened to it again that I even got, because it went on for a while, but before, it wasn't until I listened to the audio again that I could see what you guys were saying with the transistor radio, because literally all I remember hearing at the time was like something beeping.
Hmm. I originally thought that it was my tri-field meter, because when they go off, they kind of make a sound like that, except the tri-field meter wasn't in use at the time, and I, you know, begrudgingly so, seemed to have gotten one that doesn't have that sound. Which is why it's never been used during an investigation, because I'm not going to use it with the flashlight on. And there's no way to tell if it's going off or not otherwise. But, yeah, that place was off the charts.
It was cool.
Now I know that we debunked the orb. That was supposedly going around Jim.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, you did that. Shake my fist at you, but...
But the bat did that.
the bat, yeah. There was a bat in the thing, and you were absolutely right. It was like a perception thing. Mm-hmm. This looked like it was around Jim, but it was actually far, you know, way further back in the room. But... that figure.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that figure. still to this day is obviously the greatest piece of footage I have ever caught. And I think even Dave has ever caught. But what is your take on that? What do you think it is?
I've lost sleep over that figure, trying to think, like, what in the hell else could that be that's in that room? And I'm part of the reason I'm excited to get back to that location is to just get into that space again and go over that. But, I mean, I have no idea. I mean, there's so many people. If that's been a costume closet for forever, which I'm pretty sure it has, then there's been so many people in and out of there. And I wouldn't be surprised at all if that's where something decides to hang out in that theater. I mean, it was clearly a figure, and it clearly moves, and I have no idea. But I listening to the show you guys did with Grant and hearing Grant talk about those elementals was really interesting to me, because it had a very distinctive shape that was hard to explain. So, I don't know. That's interesting to me, and I would love to go back and see if we can catch anything else up there. Yeah.
You can say it has wings, Allie, because it has wings.
I don't know if it's wings, Mike. I'm not convinced that it's wings. But
if you slow it way down, you can see them contract and expand. You can see like the blood vessels that go.
I know that
you see that.
I know you feel that way about it, but
I'm telling you, we caught a fairy.
Tinkerbell is alive and well, and she's living in the Grand Opera House costume closet.
No, I don't think it's Tinkerbell. But
she's probably too big to be Tinkerbell.
Yes, because
or that, it could be a male. We don't know.
That is true.
Yeah,
because it was wearing a hood, so mm-hmm. you can obviously see hair. It did look like a female though. Softer facial features.
Absolutely.
So for those of you who don't know or have not seen this clip, you need to watch the pilot episode.
Yeah,
of the
go watch it.
Project. Watch the whole thing, because there's a lot of stuff during the reveal that we could not put in that was put in during the show specifically, so we could show more evidence. But the figure at the end is, you're really going to enjoy it. It's amazing. And I had a presentation last week for the Masonic brothers down the southern cities, and I that was like my climax for my presentation was that clip, and that pretty much blew everyone away. So it's a phenomenal clip. Not a lot of, even the TV shows, when they go to the most haunted locations in the country, the world, have pieces of evidence that good. So I'm very proud of it. I especially love the fact that it happened with you guys, and you know, your very first investigation, to have something that good. You know, because I almost think that if we would have gone there and gotten next to nothing, probably half the
team, everyone would have quit.
Nobody would have really as been as excited to continue as they were. Mm-hmm. So that was a great choice on first investigations. Mm-hmm. So the training so far, we've done 5 investigations, correct?
I've done 6. The rest of the team, I think, has done 5.
Correct. Yes.
Yeah.
But yeah, with the team, because the investigation that I was referring to is a home investigation. They needed our help. Our client needed our help like immediately. So I took Jim and Allie, and it was just us 3 for it. So you guys did get some really good stuff. And besides redoing the mentalities classroom scene, because I forgot some. We only have one more classroom scene that I need to do, and that is the difference between public locations like the Opera House and a private residence. And I know you made the comment after we did the private residence of it's way different.
Yeah.
What did you mean by that?
Well, I think going into a client's house for the first time, I mean, we were there, yes, to catch evidence, because that would be great to show them, but we were there for a purpose and not just to go in and see what we could find, because this was a person who was clearly struggling, afraid to be in their house, and that's not typically, I mean, that's not the case with any of the other investigations that I've done in, like, historic locations, and not to say that that doesn't ever happen, but everyone there seemed to be coexisting with whatever was around, but this person clearly wasn't, so... It just feels different going into a place knowing that you have, like, this job to get done and that you are there to help these people in whatever way you can. And so I feel like the approach is very different. As far as even, like, setup, like, equipment that you use, you know, your line of questioning, it's very direct instead of being broad.
Yes, yes, it is definitely. Okay, so I mentioned that I was going to ask you this before we came on, that I was going to ask you this and to try to be as honest as possible. So in order to, before we go to commercial here, how am I doing? there's a reason that I asked this, and typically I have never had an entire team all at once. Mm-hmm. You know, it's 1, maybe 2, and I've never had a classroom type thing before, and I've never, you know, specifically for the show and the Dubuque chapter, I created an entirely new system for trying to convey everything that is needed to be known, like the rules. It's always just been in my head, and when somebody breaks it, I'm like, that's against the rules, you know. Mm-hmm. And then I completely forget about it, and I make up some number, like, well, rule number 5 says you can't do that. So it was with the Dubuque chapter that I actually created this forum and this way of conveying this information. So you guys have taken to it a lot better than anybody else up here does. because nobody up here wants to listen to me, because everybody knows it all. You know, they watch the show, so they know everything.
Yeah.
So with how I am in conveying what I think everybody knows I'm trying to, good, bad, ugly, all of the above.
You know, I think it's been going well. It's a learning experience for everyone. I mean, I think that we're aware that this is your first time training a group like this, and you're aware that this is most of our first times ever doing anything like this. So I think it's been as good. I mean, it's not everything smooth sailing. It's not ever going to be. But I think we've all kind of been able to roll with the punches. Like, clearly our last investigation didn't go as planned. Clearly our celebration night did not go as planned, but I think it's, humor and being able to like shake things off is a good, thing to have in your personality, which I think you do. And yeah, I've enjoyed spending time with you and Dave and learning from you guys. And I think you're doing a great job. And I'm not just saying that because I'm afraid that you're going to kick me off the team.
I had a bunch of friends back in high school. I mean, they're still my friends now, but they were part of a backyard wrestling association. And my friend Paul,
who sounds terrifying.
It was awful, awful. My friend Paul, who is hilarious, he did a promo. And the whole thing was how he didn't want anybody to come in, and he was playing the heel, you know, the bad guy. So he didn't want anybody to come in and rescue him for this match he was about to be in, but he wanted everybody to remember who signs their paychecks. And his whole promo was on that thing. No, I don't want anybody to help me, but remember, remember who signs your paychecks. So I didn't want that to be like, yes, I want honesty, but remember, I'm the director.
But I can kick you off this Skype call at any time.
Well, I can, but I'm not going to. Because I have tried to do a show on my own. It was terrible. it was a travesty in the worst sense. And I never want to do it again. Mm. And the closest I've gotten again is a couple weeks back. We couldn't get the audio on Skype working, so I was literally like mouthing stuff to Dave and like trying to read his lips. And then he was holding up like this notepad of like what he wanted to say. And I mean, I attributed it pretty much to being in a grocery store and only hearing one side of the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause we were literally disagreeing about the topic and he couldn't say anything.
So you were right automatically.
I was like, Dave, I was like, Dave,
everything you're saying.
Yeah, I was like, Dave, you disagree, let's say something. Oh, okay. So, but he could hear me. So that's what made it so much better. Okay. We're going to go to commercial break here really quick. And then we will be back with more Odyssey Files that you're listening to on Para X.
Oh, hey Heidi, what are you listening to? Heidi. Oh, hey Steph.
Hey,
what has your attention? Oh, I'm listening to Para X, the calling radio show. Have you ever heard of it?
No, I haven't. What's it all about?
Well, it's hosted by three guys, Jerry, Alan, and Will, and they talk about paranormal investigations, UFOs, cryptozoology, psychic phenomenon, all sorts of stuff.
Oh, well, it's kind of like The Gathering, but on Wednesday, right?
Yep, you got it. The Calling Radio Show every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time only on Para X.
Your source for everything paranormal. Para X.
Hey there. I don't know if you've heard, but there's a great new radio show on Para X.
two hosts, 1 hour, and too much fun. Stephanie and Heidi not only talk about the latest goings-on in the supernatural worlds, they live it. They want to hear from you. They want to help you understand and guide you. And they want you to tune in. So, grab a friend or come alone to gather around that metaphysical table with Heidi and Stephanie. If you're interested in the worlds of the unseen, tune in to the Gathering Radio Show, Tuesdays at 9 p.m. Eastern on Para-X Radio.
Whether you're listening at home, at work, or anywhere, thanks for making Para-X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal, Para-X.
Hi, everybody. This is Chip Coffey, psychic and medium. I just wanted to let you know that when you're in the mood to get weird, you need to tune in to the Odyssey Files with two of the biggest weirdos I know, David and Michael. Take my advice. It doesn't get any weirder than that.
And we're back! So, you're listening to the Odyssey Files on the Para-X Radio Network. So, Allie.
Mm-hmm.
I have not been entirely forthcoming.
Oh, great.
With the show for tonight. So, Thursday was your birthday.
It was.
And as a gift, which I put in between, what was it, like Don's, the tour of Don's House of Fungus and a shiny rock?
I would have taken either of those.
So, you know, I kind of figured as a naturalist you would.
Yeah. Yep.
But you know, you take it all. So I asked you if you wanted to co-host the show because Dave obviously was not able to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Which I'm very, very happy that you were here. That was only half of the gift.
Okay.
I'm going to unveil now the other half.
It better be a pony or I'm going to get disappointed.
No, it is definitely not a pony. It would be hard for me to hide that. But what I can do is this. Come on. Ah, ladies and gentlemen, joining us on the Odyssey Files is my new best friend, Mr. Chip Coffey. How are you, Chip?
Oh, exciting.
I am doing all right. Hi, guys.
Hey, Chip.
Allie.
So,
how's it going?
Happy birthday.
Thank you so much.
How old are you? 26.
27, but you know.
Well, you're looking good for 27.
Thank you.
How did you know that, Chip? I didn't tell you.
I'm psychic and shit.
And shit.
No better answer has ever been given.
I can't say that on your show. I'm psychic and poop.
I've already said it, well, maybe twice.
Yes. Nope. Yeah, at least once, maybe twice.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I'm good then.
How you doing, Chip? It's been, what, 2 weeks?
It has been. It's been, like, forever.
I know. It's been too long, my friend.
So are you guys behaving?
Yes. It's actually been a very good discussion so far.
Mm-hmm. Well, good.
And it was now just escalated to epic because of your arrival.
Aw, you're so sweet.
I do have my moments once a year.
Well, you know, I call myself a curmudgeonly old poop. But, you know, it's what it is.
It is indeed. So Chip, I really want to thank you for doing this, because I know Lindsay didn't contact you until, like, this morning. and so, thank you very, very much.
Not a problem at all. You know, you do good things for good people.
And unfortunately, probably some for the bad. You never know who a client is.
You never know. But if you're bad, you've got me hoodwinked so far. So we'll just...
Well, I didn't say that I was a bad person.
Oh, it's Allie who's bad. Good girl, Allie.
I'm a terrible person.
What is the thing? Good girls seldom make history. Is that the phrase?
I think that's a quote. Someone said that once.
It's on a bumper sticker.
You just said it, so it's you can call it your quote.
No, I wish I could, but no. I'm not even remotely that clever. In fact, anything that I've ever come up with that I thought was clever bombed horribly. So, Allie, I lost your feed. Did you turn off your video?
No, I didn't.
Oh.
I don't really know how Skype works, but I didn't hit any buttons, so.
Well, whatever works. I guess you go just look at me.
And I didn't turn on my video because I look like death on toast right now. So
you know, and Lindsay said that to me today. She's like, "Is audio okay?" And I'm like, "Well, I would prefer video." I'm like, "I know Chip was a little skittish last time because he thought he had to dress up." Oh my god!
She called me this morning. And I'm like, I took a shower, but I haven't shaved, and I don't intend to get out of my jammies all day today. Because I've got to be back on the road on Wednesday, and I've only been home a few days, so I'm going to be as much of a lazy grunge as I can while I'm at home for these few days. So you'll pardon the fact that I'm only talking to you via audio.
That's okay, because it's radio anyways. So
It is.
Yes, but you know what? Some of the fun with you, Chip, is just seeing your facial expressions when we say something kind of like off-key. I really enjoy that.
All right, hold on a minute. Jesus, please. All
right. There you are. Look at that.
I look like 6 miles of dirt road. Let me just tell you this.
No, not even. Not even.
It's pretty sad. Yeah. I'm doing the best I can.
You're doing a phenomenal job.
I took a nap earlier. My blanket's behind me, and you know I've got on a sweatshirt and no glasses, no scarf.
It's all right. You don't need to see me. So
yeah.
Under the pretext, Chip, that Allie was going to try to stump me, I had her come up with some questions to ask, but they're for you. But they're for you.
Great, right. So now they're even more awful questions.
No, there's no awful questions.
Lay it on me. Let's see what answers I can concoct.
Okay, because these are, very personal. But let's start with this one. So I don't really watch a lot of, number one, I don't have cable. And number two, I'm kind of a chicken shit when it comes to, like, paranormal type movies. But I'm trying to get into it. So my first question was, what movie do you think portrays paranormal investigation most accurately, if you could pick one?
Paranormal investigation. That's a really good question. I don't know as far as investigation goes. I think the movie that has impacted me the most that I think is very realistic was The Exorcist. You know, there's some parts of that mm-hmm. that are just horrifyingly real. There was a movie that I saw at one point in time, and for the life of me, I can't think of the name of it, but I thought that they pretty accurately showed what investigation was like. And I apologize that I can't think of what it is, honestly. But I'm going to go with The Exorcist as being the most paranormally real movie that I've ever seen, because it's just, that movie still scares the bejesus out of me.
I'm still working myself up to watch it, to be honest.
I have watched it a number of times, and it's as terrifying every time that I watch it as it was the first time that I saw it when I was like 18 or 19 years old.
Yeah. Have you seen it, Mike? You've probably seen it. Have you seen it?
No, yeah. Oh, yeah. I was just going to let you guys talk. I was just going to sit back and enjoy. But if you want my thing... I have seen The Exorcist. I guess I don't find it scary. I find it really interesting.
Really?
Paranormal investigation? I don't think there is one. Movie. Maybe The Conjuring, just because, you know, that's based off of, you know, Ed and Lorraine Warren's, but even that is spruced up and stuff is made up to make it more scary than what actually happened.
And the story isn't anywhere near the real case that happened. That's the problem I have with a lot of the movies that say that they're based on the real story. I mean, Haunting in Connecticut was not even anywhere close. It had some elements of the true story, but it was so bastardized as far as the entire story went. And really, that's what happened. Annabelle the doll wasn't even a part of the Conjuring story. So, you know, they put so many pieces of different puzzles together, and, you know, it's, yeah, nope.
I've seen a lot, like a lot of these found footage movies are coming out now that deal with paranormal stuff. And for whatever reason, there's a movie called, I believe it's called like 8212 Gacy House. And it's a found footage, you know, shot in real time, blah, 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 of this paranormal team investigating the Gacy house. And it was all fine and dandy. They went a little far in it. But then, for whatever reason, in the master bedroom, they decided to have two members of the team start having sex. And like, oh, well, that happens on every investigation, sure. And they add all these things, and all the ones that I've seen since have a little bit of that in it, where people will start making out. And, you know, and I almost think that they make almost a mockery of investigation for just that purpose, in order to make it sexier, to make it more thrilling. And
that doesn't happen on investigations. That happens at events. Did I say that out loud?
Yes. It's like the Olympics, only with paranormal.
You know, there's some things I could say. I know a lot of people that try to go for the gold medal and don't quite make it, but hello. What's your next question?
Next question. And this one, again, I don't know if it applies to you, Chip, but we use this thing called, you know, the spirit box, which is sometimes really hard to understand. So one of my questions was, if you could have a guaranteed crystal clear spirit box session with anyone who has passed, who would it be?
My mom.
Oh, that's sweet.
Easy answer. I just go, hey, girl, hey.
Oh.
And we'd just probably cut up, you know, that probably, I'd go, what are you doing over there? She'd probably say, playing bingo. And I'd go, okay. How about it, Silston?
Sorry,
I interrupted. You know, my mother would probably go, what the hell do you want?
You're interrupting my bridge game.
Yeah, I'm playing Pinochle. What?
She sounds like a great lady.
She was kind of crazy like me.
Oh, those are the best kinds.
I hope.
You know what?
Next question would be, I'm having fun with these. These are, ask me questions.
Okay, as I only got one more prepared, so, you know, this is the cherry on top. So if you could change one thing in the field, what would it be? If you could snap your fingers and tomorrow something was different about the field that we are in, what would you do?
Out of a lot of different answers that I could come up with, it would be probably to never have to deal with an orb photograph or video.
That is a solid answer.
Yeah, that's probably the number one thing, or to have people show a level of respect for each other and stop, you know, berating and belittling each other and taking themselves so seriously and thinking that they know answers when in reality there are almost no answers.
Right. That's a great answer. That was actually when I was
stick with the orb. I'm going to stick with the thing because I get shown photographs all the time. And oh, do you see the face in that orb? I see what you think is the face in that orb. And they say, "What do you think I should? What do you think I should do about this picture?" And I go, "Get a Hoover."
Yeah, pretty
just
much.
More often.
One word, hashtag Swiffer.
I completely agree. Especially, it almost irritates me when during investigations we'll be looking at the DVR TV. So we have all the cameras up there. But like, did you see that fly by? It's dust. What about all that? It's dust.
I tell people, go into your bathroom, turn on your camera or your video, and take some toilet paper and rustle it between your fingers, and you'll get a freaking family reunion.
Yeah.
There's mom, there's grandma, there's the dog. Hi, Uncle Charlie.
There's a photo out there that somebody, it was some abandoned, I don't know, church or whatever, and full of dust and whatnot, but somebody took arrows and started pointing to different ones. They're like, this is the mailman, and this this is, and they pretty much did exactly what you just did with this photo, and it's one of the most hilarious things that I've ever seen with paranormal.
And there's a guy on Facebook that's got a website where he does that, and it's like, and I'd had about enough of it at one point in time, and I said something about it, and he challenged me, and I just went, you know, sorry, you know, I'm not gonna fight with you. If you believe it, then so be it. I know, you've got to look at this from a spiritual standpoint. You also have to look at it from being realistic about certain things and say that, you know, if you're looking from a purely evidentiary standpoint, then chances are, I'm not saying that every single orb, everyone is that, but 99% of the orbs that you're going to get in photos or videos are some sort of an environmental contaminant. And I always tell people, ask it to change color, ask it to change shape, ask it to hover in a specific spot, whatever. And then you can't say that you've got a spirit. What you can say is you can't really explain what something is, what's going on, what something is. But, you know, just to catch an orb image anomaly in a photograph, it's not an anomaly. It's an environmental contaminant of some sort.
I in almost any presentation that I have given, I always get asked, what are orbs? And I'm just like, they're just balls of energy. I mean, that's really, that's all they are. I'm like, even the Earth can give them off. And I'm like, but just as you just said, I'm like 99.8% of what people consider orbs are dust.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And you get lens flares, and you get people that are doing the whole matrixing pareidolia thing in their pictures and stuff like that. I've just, you know, and people will ask me, and I just go, if I can't explain it, I just go, you've got an interesting photograph. I can't tell you what it is, but you've got an interesting photograph, and that's all you can say about it. I don't know what's in the picture, but you've got an interesting photograph.
Might have to use that. I just tell them it's dust and to get rid of it. So I'm just not, I'm not as tactful, I guess, as you are. You are.
I'm not always tactful, and I just love it when the people ask your opinion, and then when you give them what your opinion is, they really don't want to hear it.
They tell you you're wrong. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had that happen recently where they wanted my opinion, and I'm like, I think you're just matrixing this thing in the back, and like, we see what we see, and you know, with all due respect, you know, I think that's something. I'm like, no, it's not. Then don't ask me for my opinion. If you
generally, when they say that, I just go, okay. Okay.
That's exactly what I said. I said, you believe fine. Whatever you want. Here's my opinion. Oh, people.
Ugh. And then there are those people that want to live in a house with a demon. Sometimes my response is, I can't even. I can't even.
Can you tell us a good story about that, Chip? That's interesting to me.
You know, I had someone call me up and tell me that they were having stuff go on in their house, and there was absolutely no indication from the questions that I asked that there was anything demonic going on. because I ask about typical demonic triggers and stuff like that. There was no foul odors. There was no harm going on in the house. I mean, they were having things like hearing whispers. They were having doors open and close and things move from one place to another. And, you know, that's just kind of poltergeist activity and usually benevolent or benign in a lot of instances. You know, poltergeist activity doesn't have to be slinging stuff through the walls or walls bleeding or people being, you know, stabbed in the throat with a fork. You know, it doesn't have to be anything like that. But it's, you know, they were so sure that their house was infested by demons that I just basically said, well, you know, you're going to believe whatever you're going to want to believe, but you've told me absolutely nothing that was indicating that that was happening. And the spooky thing is about this is there are people that spooky is probably the wrong word, but the sad thing maybe is that people believe these things. They get it in their head. And I wonder if sometimes they're just not hoping for a book deal or a movie deal. That's I don't know. I wouldn't want that sort of energy in my life. And really, they don't want anything to do with any sort of low-level or non-human or demonic energies in their home. That's something you want to try to avoid at all costs. Mm-hmm. So be careful what you ask for.
That's all I got to say is just nod the head.
Yeah.
You know, and I keep telling everybody, the paranormal, if you're not, you know, you're taking a risk. Anybody that's involved in the paranormal has to realize that you're undertaking a bit of a risk, because it's kind of like wandering into a dark swamp and not knowing if you really are going to get bitten in the butt by an alligator. So rare as it may be, I've experienced some scary stuff and it's out there. So if you think that you are 100% you're impervious to that, you are vulnerable to some degree.
Yes, you are. Allie, do you have any more questions? Because I know I do.
I didn't write this one down, but it was just kind of something I was thinking of as we were talking. And that's, you know, I have very little experience, Chip, but from like the one home investigation I've done, I just was curious your thoughts on like how much can a individual person's energy affect what's going on in their home? Because the one case that we were on is, I mean, she was just terrified of everything. She was in an unstable place in her life, I would say. And, you know, nothing had gone on in this home before. And I was just curious to get your take on like, how do you think the person living in the home primarily fuels kind of what's going on, or?
I am a firm believer that it is the combined energies of the living and the dead that produce the results.
Yeah.
I know that I lived in a very actively haunted house where nothing bad happened when I was a kid, and people who lived in it afterwards experienced very little. The same thing happened at the house in Connecticut from Haunting in Connecticut, and the people that lived there afterwards experienced very little. So I think it's the combined energies. I'm almost positive it is the combined energies of both the living and the dead that create the results. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's belief systems. Is there anything going on in the house such as discord, disharmony, dysfunction, abuse, alcoholism, drug abuse, any of that sort of stuff going on in the house? Is there tension? Do you have children that are in the house? Do you have a child who's going through puberty? I mean, there's so many different things that can impact, I think, the stirring up of paranormal energy in a house. And if you've got dysfunction or discord, that's basically like setting out a buffet for anything negative to come and feast at. So I tell a lot of people, if you clean up the things that are going on in the third dimension, here in what we call the living world, chances are you're going to minimize what's going on from a paranormal perspective as well. It's a theory, but I think it's got a lot of credence to it.
Makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah, I fully agree, because I know that there have been a lot of cases out there where, you know, it's just a husband and wife and maybe grandma and grandpa and you know, over the generations, and nothing will happen. And then all of a sudden, like a family of, you know, husband, wife, and three kids move in, and all of a sudden there's activity because whatever right. energy is in the house is compatible, and it was like almost waiting for like the kids or, you know, that type of atmosphere in order to, I guess, become active again or to be.
Right.
So, I mean, so you believe it's more of a like the Living Dead compatibility thing, or I mean, is it a conscious choice for an entity to wait for that? Or
I don't know if that's the case or not. Maybe. I think anything is possible. But I think also it's kind of the belief system of the people, because when we moved into the house, we already had an existing belief system in things that were paranormal or supernatural. Mm-hmm. So maybe, and my mom and I both had mediumistic abilities. So of some sort of being able to, at least psychic abilities at that point in time, to be able to sense things. So maybe that all comes into play. Maybe how heightened your level of intuition or psychic ability is, I think there's a number of things that can stir up activity and connect those dots.
Nice. So I have one last question, because we only have about 5 minutes left. And I don't know why, like, these questions are suddenly coming to me now. Like, I've been curious about it forever. So early in my career, I came across the theory, or somebody told it to me, who had intuitive abilities and whatnot. So they kind of told it to me, but they said that the dead have like rules placed upon them how they interact with the living, you know, and that's why it's so hard to get an EVP or this, because they're not allowed to talk to the living. You think that's true, or is that crap?
I don't know the answer to that question. I think probably there are things that we're not supposed to know, and I don't know if it's rules or how that works. People are always asking me, what is it like over there? And I'm like, I've never asked. Well, why not? Because I don't know that they're supposed to give out all that information. I think that for whatever reason, we're supposed to get a glimpse of it, but we're not supposed to know all the answers. So I don't know what the limitations are, if there are limitations, but it's a very thought provoking question nonetheless. People ask me sometimes, why don't you try to reach Jesus, or why don't you try to reach the Virgin Mary? And I'm like, I think they've got better things to do most of the time than have a chat with me. And I don't mind having a one-sided conversation with those guys, you know, whatever, but it's a fascinating world filled with a lot more questions than there are answers. And if you expect to get answers to questions, especially like why or how, you're going to be sadly disappointed. Just go along for the ride. Document the evidence as it happens without elaborating on it or exaggerating it, and just ride the ride. Ride the wave, whatever.
Do you think that the persistent... Okay, here's my last question. Why is it so hard to get a spirit's name? I ask every investigator, can you please tell me your name? I can never, ever get a name.
I don't know the answer to that. Maybe you're just an unlucky son of a gun. If I die before this, I'm going to come... It's Chip. Dummy. Who do you think it is? It's Chip. I'm going to haunt your ass. That's what I'm going to say. I'll come get you, Michael. Boo! I'm going to be rattling chains and knocking on doors. Yeah.
Chip, I can say this with all sincerity. If I have a choice of who to be haunted by, you will be at the top.
Well, I intend to be a pain in the butt when I get over there. I'm just going to... They're going to go, you need to reincarnate really quick, son. You know, we're tired of you over here. Go back.
Awesome. Chip, thank you.
You're welcome. Happy birthday, Allie.
Thank you, Chip.
Somebody needs to buy you either birthday cakes or a drink or dinner or something, Michael.
Or all of them. Yeah, I'd take all of it.
Yeah.
Okay, so noted for future reference. Next time that I say I'll pick this up, no complaining.
Okay.
Okay, good.
Aw, that was so sweet. I'm wondering if that was my heart really feeling that, or just a little gas attack. I don't know.
Could be a combination of both.
Could be a combination. You guys are fabulous. It's always fun to hang out with you, Michael. And anytime you need anything, dude, just let me know.
Oh, that's awesome, Chip. I really appreciate that. So for Allie and myself and the Odyssey Files, I bid everybody a very good night.